This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Continuing our conversation about debit and credit cards on campus with Kenneth Webb from Fifth Third and Julie Heath from UC. You can join the discussion at 513-419-7100. Email talk at WVXU.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And when you're 18 years old, Julie, and you're heading off to college, who has time to think about all this and to read those fine print documents and you get with your credit card so you really know the interest rate and the fees? I mean, you're talking about people who are just entering young adulthood.
That's what parents are for. I mean, that's the short answer. No, you don't expect 18-year-olds to be that financially savvy unless they've gotten a lot of financial literacy instruction in school. Which we're not to that point yet. But that's what parents are for. I mean, parents would never dream of you know, giving their kid the keys to the car without any kind of instruction and just saying, well, good luck. I hope it turns out all right out there. But that's what essentially we're doing these kids.
It's just as crucial, isn't it?
It is. It's the talk, and it's every bit as important of a talk as the other talks that we have with our kids before we push them out the door.
Do you think it's safer to give a student a credit card or a debit card? What are the benefits or the risks?
I think if you're not sure how your child is going to handle responsibility, if this is the first real time they've had to shoulder significant responsibility, I think it's safer to start them off with a debit card. You can then move to a preloaded credit card to see how they manage that. Some parents choose to go the route of co-signing. You have to be really sure of your kid because you're responsible for everything. So if they want to go out and charge a car, you have to make sure that you're ready to assume that payment. So you just have to know your child. But I think starting off with a debit card makes the most sense.
And that was what we decided to do when my sons went off to college. We used the debit cards. And my youngest always it cracked me up because I'd be getting these texts from him. Dad, can you put $50 in my account? I'm a little short. So that's what you have to prepare for with that
kind
of
thing.
Because you do have to have money in the account to make it work.
Well, that's what we did with our daughter, too, when she went off to college. And she would never tell us that she needed money, but she would say things like, well, I've had cereal for dinner three nights in a row.
Right. And one of the things with that, even the debit and the credit card, the opportunity for people's cards to be stolen or lost, because you're talking about an individual who's never been away from home typically, and things get misplaced. And when they do get misplaced, there's always the parameter to say, okay, was it a debit card or is it a credit card? If it's lost or stolen, a lot of times people want the credit card because if it's lost or stolen, it's easier to start another account, start and get a new card, that type of thing. With the debit card, it's a little bit more trickier. And then also with the debit card, there's the NSF fees. And so you want a card where as your child continues to matriculate and understand the value of one of our focuses at the bank is called the Bank of Mom and Dad.
Yes, I'm familiar.
And so as the Bank of Mom and Dad continues to progress, they understand that the Bank of Mom and Dad is not always going to be open, you know. And my mom and dad used to tell me all the time they think money grows on trees. And I always look in the backyard and looking for this tree that had all this money on it. So my point is it just depends on the demeanor of your child, understanding how responsible they are, and understanding that there's pros and cons for each with the credit card or with the debit card. Because I think either one of those are good vehicles if used properly.
That's exactly right. And all of this should not be left to chance or to develop during the first year of college, right? I mean, all of there's a checklist of what your child should take to college.
Right.
On that list should be a budget.
Right.
And the conversation should happen well before you're saying your tearful goodbye about who's going to be responsible for what, and you can expect this much from us every month, every 2 months. If they get, for example, if they get a federal loan payment, that's a big lump of money that they have to somehow make last over the course of a semester. So how are you going to do that? Let's talk about how this is going to play out. That should be a conversation that happens rather than a situation that's allowed to develop, because often it won't develop well.
Right. And it goes back to the fact that when you have those college visits, you know, that's got to be something you got to earmark as far as even when you make the visit. Okay, what's the situation like at this campus? Do they have an opportunity to have a campus card or a card where you can actually use it as a student ID versus a debit card as well? So that way you have less cards to lose because you have one card. And so the responsibility of worrying about my books, my pens, my iPad, my iPod, and my credit card or my debit card mm-hmm. or my another card. I just need to keep all that together. And that gives the opportunity for the child to continue to understand the responsibility of having something.
Right.
Kenneth, if you lose the debit card, is there a risk of having the account wiped out because you don't have your card? Or?
Well, that's probably – it depends on, you know, with a credit card, you can secure those a lot quicker if it's lost or stolen. And with a debit card, they might get a little bit of money on it. But most banks have an actual a reserve fund where they can actually go in and say, okay, I know that to hold you over until the money comes in. I know there's a fraud issue or something like that. These have an account where they can actually pull from, but getting that new card to them is a lot more lengthy than getting an actual credit card sometimes. So it just depends on the bank and the institution and how they have to, but you need to talk about that before you get that at the campus and you find out you have a credit card, you have a debit card, you're just stuck.
You need to know the details going in.
Exactly.
Yeah, read the fine print. No, ask questions, right?
Always.
Julia, does UC have any classes, any free informational classes on how to manage money when students are first coming in? Do they get any briefings on that?
Well, every college or university that accepts or exchanges federal financial dollars, you know, student loans or whatever, is required to offer some financial training, some financial education to their students before they receive that. Oftentimes, that looks like an online experience for students. So they go through, they read. Sometimes they have to answer some questions, but the federal law is that if you disperse federal funds to students, then you have to provide some amount of education around the use of those funds and the repayment of those funds if it's a loan.
513-419-7100, the number to call if you'd like to join our discussion, if you have any questions or comments. And if you've ever run into any problems, parents or students, give us a call and share that with us. 513-419-7100. Kenneth, can someone under 18 start a checking account to start learning how to bank?
Yeah, we actually start our student checking account, which is free of fees and everything else, and it starts at 16. And so, therefore, they can continue to get a free checking account until they continue to show verification. So we might have 80-year-old students, you know, as relates to because they're going back to school or they're going to school because of the fact that they're still enrolled and wanting to continue to learn. So that is that at age 16.
Is that universal or is that something that is specific to the bank?
I know that all I know is Fifth Third's regulation. I don't know about their other banks. I'm sure there probably is because student checking is a special product at most banks.
And of course, there are two sides to this. Getting a credit card and being responsible with it can help you establish good credit for when you graduate from college. It can help you purchase a car when you graduate or get a cell phone or rent an apartment. So there's actually that side of things, too, that having access to a credit card when you're in college is not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's not. It actually helps to as relates to building credit. That was one of the things that I didn't understand until I got a little older because I thought I had to have this SUV that and then I got pulled my credit report and I had no credit. I was like,
zero.
I was like, okay, what's this about? You know, but what the scary part about that, I did have credit and it was actually because I'm a junior. So some of the things that my dad had purchased came up on my account. So there were things on my account when I was like 7 or 8. I was like, what is this? Because they went to the household and I had not lived anywhere else besides home. So there were a lot of things on there that I had to clean up because of that. And that's another thing about getting your credit report pulled and things like that, because it's essential because if you don't know, you don't know. And then when it's too late, you're like, where did this stuff come from? And you're like, oh, well, I tell people all the time, get their credit report pulled at least once a year to see if there's anything out there fraudulent or anything out there security-wise to make sure that you stay abreast of what's going on. Because identity theft is huge now. And so that's one of the big proponents that we're, as a bank, we're continually trying to come up against that because we know that the identity thieves don't care.
Well, particularly as we came out of the recent recession and credit tightened up so much, oftentimes students just coming out of high school or college will try to rent an apartment, get a job, all of the things that you need a good credit score for, will discover that a family member
had usurped
mm-hmm. their identity and you know, it's run up significant. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. very unfortunate. But again, you know, everything comes back to education, right? If these kids don't understand the importance of keeping that just clean as a whistle, it never occurs to them right. to even look.
Well, and not only education, but reoccurring education.
Right.
Studies have shown that if it's not just one and done. You know, we've taken a class, you've done the requirements, you certified, now you have this plaque on the wall, but you're in debt. And
right.
it's like, okay.
Ouch.
And so you have all this credentials saying you accomplished all these different things, but you're still in debt because you didn't listen to what you were actually being taught.
Well, that's the challenge, key. Right? I mean, mm-hmm. Knowledge is one thing, but changing behavior is something else.
Definitely.
So, you know, it's like smoking cessation or weight loss programs. You know, I might know that smoking is bad for me, and then during the break in the class where I'm learning that, I go out to the parking lot and smoke one.
Right.
So it's changing behavior rather than...
And that's one of the things we try to do at the Young Bankers Club level. We try to get them early. Because if you can get the basics, need versus wants, if you can understand that early in life, your life will be a whole lot less stressful.
Somebody, a good analogy I saw was to think about it like dieting. Be careful mm-hmm. what you feed your credit card. Use it judiciously and use it for only things that you need to use it for. Don't buy a pizza every weekend or buy beer at the bar or whatever. Just
right.
use it carefully and keep your eyes wide open. Lori from Mason is joining us. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
What's your comment?
I have a couple comments. Number one, I currently have a son who's going to be a sophomore in college. And when he was in high school, they did not teach it. But my daughter, who is going to be a junior in high school, she took a class. It was called Financial Literacy. And it's one of the greatest classes that could ever be taught. It really prepares them for budgeting, talks about credit cards, talks about stocks. It just addresses so many levels of financial responsibility. And my other comment is, as I said, I have a son in college, and one thing I've seen a lot of the credit card companies send out so many offers.
Isn't that the truth?
These kids. Yeah, and they don't, at that age, they're kind of caught up in the excitement, ooh, I can have my own credit card. And I've seen a lot of that become a very big problem among the college kids, and they get into trouble with that.
Lori, it's funny. My sons have graduated, but I still, to this day, they've been out for several years now. I still get offers from credit card companies for both of them, student credit cards. So,
well, that's a good point. I'd like to speak to that point first. A lot of people think that with the enactment of the CARD Act, that college students are somehow in this protective bubble. And credit card offers will not come to them. That is absolutely not true.
Correct.
The CARD Act says that if you're under the age of 21, you cannot, on your own, get a credit card unless you can show sufficient income to be able to make payments on any debt you incur on that credit card. So it's still possible for parents to co-sign for a credit card, so the offers still come. And what credit card companies consider income, this just boggles my mind, but credit card companies, if a student gets a student loan, often that's considered sufficient income.
Wow.
So the receipt of a student loan can be considered sufficient income to pay back another kind of debt incurred with a credit card. So, you know, there are all kinds of ways around that, however well-intentioned it might be. I'm glad to hear that you had that your child had a good experience with the financial literacy class. With Senate Bill 311 being enacted several years ago, the Ohio requirements are still very, very lax in terms of economic and financial literacy. But several school districts, Mason being foremost among them, have chosen to go ahead and put in a standalone class around financial literacy. And,
it was a phenomenal class. She
good.
Learned so much, and to this day still talks about, oh, I remember that, I remember learning that. So I felt very grateful that took place.
Oh, and good. I'm glad to hear that.
Lori, was that an elective class or a required class?
I believe that is a requirement now.
Good.
And it's just a new thing within Mason schools. The class was not even offered even 3 years ago when my son was there. But it has become a required class, which I think is absolutely essential.
The sad part about it is that it's not required in every single school district in the state of Ohio.
No, and it should be.
It absolutely
really
should be.
Lori, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. And Ken?
Yeah, I wanted to say something before, even though she's gone, but we had, because of that and because of the need that we see in financial literacy, we partnered with Dave Ramsey and the Dave Ramsey and the Foundations in Finances, and we're putting that in several hundred high schools throughout our footprint, several hundred high schools, especially in Ohio. And it's like an elective class where they have an opportunity to take that. It's like they have a workbook, a DVD, and they go through the process. And Dave Ramsey has a way of talking to teenagers that's very motivating, but it's non-threatening. He makes laughter out of it. But the reality is, he understands this is, you can live like no one else, so you can live like no one else. That's his whole motto.
That's a great motto,
too. And so when you think about the financial literacy piece, we also have to understand that giving people tools and the opportunity to make themselves better is part of the whole education piece and acknowledging people to understand that they can make a difference with the opportunities that they have in front of them. I think a lot of times people just think, well, that's somebody else's job. Well, no, it's your job because it's your money. And so the responsibility comes on you on both ends, education-wise as well as the parent, and as I say again, the bank of mom and dad.
Ultimately, that's what it does boil down to. Julie, are there any statistics on kids dropping out because they've racked up so much debt from spending and loans as well?
Yeah, we know that that students drop out of college more for financial reasons than they do because of academic reasons. And when you think about the loss potential that could have been avoided with better and more thoughtful education and preparation, it's really sad. I mean, this truly is an economic development issue. It, of course, is an education issue, but it's also an economic development issue as we look toward hope for a country with more college graduates. If some financial literacy education would have prevented some college dropouts, that's just a shame.
We'll continue our conversation about credit and debit cards on campus after the break, and you can join the discussion at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU, and in about 13 minutes, Ann Thompson's Focus on Technology will look at Major League Baseball's effort to protect pitchers from head injuries.